Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman this evening as we proceed, as always, with Bible prophecy teaching and getting the church up to scratch with what we are supposed to do as a church. Because I have to remind everybody that the church is God's only constituency on earth. He doesn't have any other constituency. So if there is anything that he is going to do on earth, it is going to have to be through the church. Now, the thing is the church really ready to put into place the things that Bible prophecy has told us and the things that the Lord is revealing that we are about to enter into? The question is, how ready is the church to take up this new mantle and sometimes lay aside some of the things they knew and be in position to embrace new things? Because you see, I've seen that quite a number of people actually become infatuated with knowledge which they had in the 1990s, in the early 2000s and so on, even last year, And they forget that actually there is something that is always happening. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, Peter says that for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Now, there are two things I want to pick from that scripture. The first one is the reminder, which is very important, because just because somebody knew something before doesn't mean that they are practicing it currently. There are so many things which I believe that I'd gotten a total grasp of. Mm. But every time that you kind of slacken a bit, you find that somehow the enemy might have made ground here and there. Yes. And now what was previously a powerful truth and you were living in it, it's only truth if you're living it.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're not living it and you just know it in your head, it is not yet truth to you. Because the truth has got to have set you free of something.
Yeah.
So now when you realize that there was a time when I knew this truth and it had set me free from something and I was living that truth, then somehow the enemy crept in at some stage maybe and shifted your foundation a bit.
Yes.
And then you find that you need to be reminded of what you are and who you are and what the present. But then the second part of this verse, which I'm really interested in, is the idea of present truth. Because you see, what people do not understand is that there is a lot of truth that does not shift.
Yes.
And that is true throughout.
Yes.
For instance, the doctrinal truth of the New Testament, on which the church is built and so on.
Yes.
But then there is truth that changes as you go along and as the Lord continues to do things, you know, coming on. Now, when you read the seven churches of Revelation that the Lord was speaking to, you realize that there were different truths for every church. And all those churches were generational.
Yes.
He was speaking about things which the church as a total church age will go through over a period of time. Now you see that the beginning church starts with a lot of, you know, vigor. Then eventually they become legalistic. That's the Ephesus church.
Yeah.
Then eventually they lose the first love. And then, you know, then the second one was the one which they talked about, the one which was going to be persecuted.
Yes.
Which was persecuted for almost 200 and something years.
Yes.
The persecution that ended in, I think, 312 AD, when Emperor, I think, Constantine converted, apparently, to Christianity, and then the martyrhood. Because in that period, there were so many martyrs, people were martyred and so on.
Yeah.
So my point is that now, when the church moves from that period to another period, now, if you stay in the previous truth, you might find yourself off.
Yeah.
Then after, when the church now went and also again went into total legalism, especially fomented throughout Europe and so on, and people buying places in heaven through ordinances and, you know, all sorts of things. They even came here, people would carry water to go and, you know, build churches and what, and the more you did, the easier it was for you to get into heaven, apparently. Or some people would do it even for their parents, who apparently are in purgatory and so on. Then along came Martin Luther.
Yes.
And with a simple revelation, the just shall live by faith.
Okay.
And then the year was 1517. He went and pinned up 105 theses, questions to the church, that if the church actually follows the Bible. By that time, the church had shifted so far off the Bible that even being found with the Bible was a sin, and you could be burnt at the stake for having a Bible when you are not apparently authorized to have it, or even to interpret it, as they say. But Martin Luther King, who was actually a Catholic priest, came up and challenged the Catholic Church and caused the Protestant, you know, Reformation and so on. So now that was a period of revival. Now, if you carried on what was previously there and brought it into Martin Luther's time, it would not be present truth. No. Now, after Martin Luther came other revivalists, the Wesley brothers and so on. Then some of those people, then you know, they came up with, then they had the Baptist. The revelation of baptism. By the way, it didn't happen at the time. Revelation of baptism, people would just believe, and you know. Then the Baptists came and said, when somebody believes, they have to be baptized, which is actually scripture. So they believe and get baptized. But then, after that, when the Presbyterian and the Baptist and so on, when God started out real revivalists, had so many revivals, through people like Charles Finney, through people like D.L. Moody, and so on, and they kept on coming. The Baptist says, for us, we stay at baptism. Miracles no longer happen. We do not believe in miracles. We do not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. We do not believe in healing. In other words, we live a purely natural, secular life, except for the fact that we believed Jesus Christ
and baptism,
and we got baptized. Now, of course, at the time that those things came, the baptism, it was a powerful revelation for the time. But God moved on, because he does not stay in one place, but some people always stay in the place where they were before, and they stick there, they stick to it. So they said, no, there's nothing else that is true. So around the 1900s, the early 1900s, I think 1903, when for the first time since almost all the early apostles were, had died, somebody was heard speaking in tongues, and that caused the charismatic revival. And the Baptist said, no, that is the devil, because God is supposed to stay where they stayed. So they expect that when they stay, God stays. But God is not going to stay in a place just because you've chosen to stay. If you want to be there, you be there. But God is going to move on, because we are, the church age is progressive. So what was now a truth becomes past truth. And now there's another truth. So now also, the speaking in tongues and so on, later on they came the healing, you know, the healing revivals, then the prophetic, you know, I remember Azusa Street prophets and so on. And even now some of the charismatic people who received the messages of speaking in tongues and were doing powerful miracles and so on, when the prophetic came, they also stood up to fight it, because people get infatuated with a certain place they were, and they do not want to shift. Now, I'm trying to explain to you present truth, as my colleague here, Evangelist John Paul Akena, comes to tell us what we should expect now as present truth. What is the present truth for us today as an end-time church? Then, after the whole prophetic thing and so on,
and
which, of course, is still going on, and miracles and so on, then came grace. The grace of our Lord. And some people said, no, this is grace is fake. You know, and so on. And they kind of, because maybe it is ministered in a certain wrong way to certain people, and so they get the wrong end of the stick, and then they close out their thinking completely. Now, that's what usually happens, and that's what makes people stay behind when they are supposed to progress, is because you don't keep an open mind. Now, I'll tell you this, throughout all my 30 years, soon to be 31 years of salvation, from 1992 November 19th, the one thing I've done is I've kept a very, very open mind. Because this Bible you see here, you can never exhaust it. Because apparently, I was reading that book by Rick Joyner, and he says that he was in heaven, and even Paul was busy still discussing the word of God, which he wrote himself. He was he was trying to understand his own epistles. You see, now with other, you know, saints. Because the word of God is eternal. It is from everlasting to everlasting. Once it is the word of God. Now, even Paul was used to actually deliver that word. Because at that point, the Spirit of God comes like is over him. Yes. So everything he writes is inspired. Yeah, yeah. 100% inspired by the Spirit of God. But after the inspiration, he goes back to being normal. Eh? Yes. Now he has to study his own words. Okay? And he has to come. And he's still studying them even in eternity. Wow. Imagine 2,000 years since he died. He's still studying. So my point is, if somebody thinks he has, and I've seen so many people who are in this place, even pastors and some people and what, who think, yeah, we know the Bible.
Yes.
Man, you don't know the Bible. Mm-hmm. The day you think you know the Bible is the day that you are going to be a stumbling block to so many people. Mm-hmm. Because God will be doing something new, which does not fit into what you previously knew.
Yes.
And you fight it with all your might.
Yes. Because you want
people. Yes. And you think that you're any different. Mm-hmm. Okay, because maybe you are, because you're born again and you know spirit filled and probably you know that. But that was the thing with the Pharisees.
Yes.
Remember, the law was given by God.
Yes.
The law of Moses was given by God. It was of God. There was nothing wrong with the law.
Yes.
You see? And God handed it down supernaturally through Moses.
Yes.
Now, when Jesus comes and says, okay, we are entering a new phase. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm introducing to you God the Father, whom you did not know before. You knew God the Judge, you knew God the Lawgiver, you knew God the Redeemer, the Deliverer and all that, but you never knew him as Father.
Yes.
Now Jesus comes and says, I'm introducing to you God the Father. And the Pharisees are angry. Who are you? Who do you think you are to say you're the Son of God, to make yourself equal to God?
Yes.
Now you see, it's not different from some of the things we see today. People might think, because it's just because now the knowledge of Jesus being the Son of God is revealed to you, but at that time, it was new things.
Yes.
And those who were wise, like people who were open-minded, like Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. Remember in the Gospel of John, it says that when he died, he's one of with Joseph of Arimathea who went and asked for the body of Jesus because he was a secret believer, but he was a Pharisee, but with an open mind.
Yeah.
Now, there will always be people with an open mind.
Yes.
Okay? So, when you have an open mind,
when
something moves from A to B, you understand.
Yes.
Imagine you're putting your place. I'm trying to explain something with Peter,
where
he knows salvation belongs to the Jews.
Yes.
Okay? Then the Spirit of God is trying to introduce to him something. There is a Gentile called Cornelius, whom I want you to go and preach the gospel to. And Peter sees it, you know the story, through the vision and so on. But he goes with an open mind.
Yes.
And then he reaches there and Cornelius tells him the vision he had. And Peter could have said, no, that is not of God, that is the devil. An angel cannot visit a Gentile. But he didn't. He kept an open mind. And then he preached to him the gospel. And then now the Holy Spirit, showing Peter that what he's doing is right, filled all these Gentiles in the household of Cornelius as he was still preaching. So Peter went and had to explain to the whole house. Because they said, we understand. You took this precious thing to Gentiles. Now you have to know that for the Jews, this was like blasphemy. How do you take this? Then Peter explained to them how it all happened. Then remember the scripture said, it says that then they celebrated and said, it means God has granted to the Gentiles to also receive Christ and receive the Holy Spirit even as we are. Now you think that was a small thing for the Jews? It was not. They did not know that salvation was ever supposed to be for Gentiles. But they kept an open mind. Now you see, the whole scripture is full of people who, you know, they don't try to box God and say, now we've finished the syllabus of God. Now there's nothing he can do which we do not already know. Who are you to finish the syllabus of God?
Actually, the people who actually didn't move on in the days of Paul, they were actually people who were fighting the move of the gospel. Exactly, because when you see Paul went to Ephesus, all around, they were following Paul wherever he goes.
The Jews, the Jews. Unbelieving Jews.
Now those are people who did not keep an open mind. They just say, we are going to fight because this gospel, this salvation is only for the Jews. So this time when Paul is preaching, going to different places, Ephesus, Asia, and all these other places, they kept on following
him everywhere.
And they have been known to fight the move of the Lord.
And actually, throughout history, the people who have fought the move of God are the people who once experienced something.
Yes.
But think that was the the end of the syllabus of God.
Yes, yes.
So now anything that comes after that, they are ready to die for it. They're almost like Saul, Saul of Tarsus, that you know zealous for the Lord until the Lord had to tell him, man, there are new things happening here.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is now, this thing we are talking about, present truth.
Yes.
There are so many people whom I have met who are not progressing in their walk with God.
Yes.
And you talk to them and you realize the only thing they have is that they stopped, they parked at a roadside at some stage. And the Spirit of God is not going to park until the rapture when he goes with the church.
Yes.
Okay? The Spirit and the bride say come. So the preparation of the bride is going to continue until the bridegroom comes for the bride. So now when you think that you've finished the syllabus, as actual, and I see this mostly in, you know, sometimes even in, you know, men of God, and who think that, you know, they know everything there is to know. And now that's a big deception, because you look at their lives and you see that there is something that is lacking. There is a certain truth which has not set them free from a certain problem, from a certain bondage. Okay? For instance, I remember there was the Tukutendeleza movement. Which was a nice thing at the time when it started, you know, inculcated salvation, morality, and so on. But it took a while for them to understand that actually believers can cast out demons because they used not to. So now, at some stage, then the whole deliverance thing came, and then believers understood that actually. But so these are all in, it's all in the scripture. But then they understood that actually now it's the role of a believer. Then it took also time here in Uganda for believers to actually get into the knowledge of speaking in tongues and so on, although it kind of died away in so many places. Then I was there. I was already born again when the whole move of prosperity came. Because at the time when we got born again, let me tell you, when I got born again, I knew I've got born again, now I'm ready to die and go to heaven. And you negate everything that God wants you to do here on earth. And it's almost like you got born again purposely just to die. And it took me a while to understand that God does not want me to die and go to heaven yet. Because there is a lot of work here. I'm not supposed to go to heaven alone. There's going to be so many people who are going to be there because of the work God is doing through me. That was a big revelation. So then when we got into prosperity, and now the church understood that God does not want anybody to be poor. Poverty is not,
Of God.
Of God. And so on. That time we knew, personally, I knew, of course, about speaking in tongues. Of course, salvation I knew. I knew about healing, divine healing. Okay? And I walked in that present truth at the time. All these are present. But now the issue of money. I totally did not understand that God has a plan for every believer's money, for them to be prosperous on earth. Because his work does cannot be done on earth when the people who believe in him, his constituency is poor. His constituency, which is the church. Now, that was a big revelation at the time. Now, I'm bringing something here so that we understand present truth. Now, that truth came, and so maybe a bit too zealously, and some people, you know, but it was truth. Some people were overzealous about it, but it was truth. Some people just talked about it, but they never understood how to walk in it. So they knew some knowledge, but it did not become truth. Because if you know the truth about prosperity, it will set you free from what?
Poverty.
From poverty. Okay? If you know the truth about salvation, it will set you free from, you know, being unsaved. If you know the truth about deliverance, it will set you free from demons being. So all these truths are supposed to set you free in some place. So now, there is the present truth. But now, there are certain things which are becoming extremely important in this present truth. I hope I've explained to you so that you understand what Peter meant here in the epistle of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 12. I'll read it again. It says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though I know that you are established in the present truth." He did not say in the truth. He said in the present truth. Because there was a truth that was present at the time. And remember, the word of God is eternal. So every generation has a present truth. It adds on to the previous truth, but it also might, you know, certain things are different. So what Now that we've set the foundation, the church as it is right now,
yes.
What are we supposed to be focusing on as a church?
Yes. I would build on what you've spoken about at first, that God is bringing the whole church into the building the whole body of Christ and the whole image of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And that image, the scripture says, it should be glorious, without any spot, without any wrinkle. And now, the truth that would bring that about is the truth of dominion and setting us high on top of everything.
Yes.
And one of the elements, the key element, is actually what you've spoken about, the financial dominion. That's personally what I see, that in this end time, this is what the Lord is doing. And it's building, you know, like when you have an artist and he comes and then have a board and he begins to work out and starts his drawing.
His painting, yeah.
His painting. You not at first start to see the exact painting, because it is you can start with some paints, some structures, something, sketches. Now, but at last you will see the whole painting and the whole drawing, how it is shaped and how it looks nice. Now for the church.
So finally, you know what he has been trying to draw, what he has been drawing, which you couldn't see before.
Yes.
But as he comes to the end, you see it properly.
Yes. Actually, even like what you've said, even when he's at the end of it, maybe not final touch, you'd know that this is what
he's drawing. Although it's not yet clear.
Yes. Although it's, yes,
but
yes,
at least you have an idea.
Idea. Now, all this time when God has been doing all these movements, which he has started earlier on, like salvation, restoration, miracles, and all this other prophetic grace, and all it. And actually, even it's spoken in the scripture, like the one you've spoken about, grace. Because the Bible prophecy in Isaiah says that I'll build the house with the capstone of shouts of grace.
That's actually Zechariah, I think.
Zechariah.
Yes.
So, he speaks about that. Like all this, it's in the scripture, and I like it because it's fulfilling and is drawing that picture of the whole body of Christ. Now, in this very time, the picture, it should come out glorious, without spot, without no wrinkle, and should be magnificent. Actually, when
it should be in dominion.
In dominion. When you read in Revelation, on the day when we are in heaven after rapture, because now that's the church which has been taken from earth to heaven, that church is so glorious. I think, let me read the scripture. It's in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'll start from verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Then verse 8 says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints."
Praise God.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Now,
continue explaining.
This is we are going to understand what this glory, without wrinkle, without spot, is all about. And it's about the garment which the church is putting on.
Right.
And
now,
that garment, the scripture says, is the righteous acts of the saints. Yes.
Because now, what people have to understand is the garment is not put on them in heaven.
Yeah.
No, because in heaven, there are no righteous acts in heaven.
No.
The garment is put on you while you're still here. And then, because in any case, when a bride is going for a wedding, they don't dress her up after the wedding.
Or
in the wedding process. They dress her up before the wedding. That's when they put her, you know, in the fine whatever. That's when they do their makeup, they do her hair, do all those things before the wedding.
Yes.
Now, and it says, read it again.
Verse 8 says,
start from verse 7.
From verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready."
Ready.
His wife has made
herself.
Actually, this is something which maybe even we can learn from the English definition. which says that his wife has made, which is an English word, which means that it's the right of the wife to make
herself ready.
So
in other words, it is us who are supposed to make ourselves ready and put on, you know, the fine linen, as it says, and clean and bright, the fine linen. And so it says in verse 8 here, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Praise the Lord. Now, this is our duty.
Yes.
And the final church, the dominion of the final church is very well prophesied, so much in the especially in the book of Daniel, when the church has got to be in dominion. Dominion was given to the Christ and to his saints at the end. A judgment was sat and dominion was given to us. Now, that's not dominion in heaven. You see, the thing is, so many things, and I used not to understand Bible prophecy because I used to assign so many things which are for now,
to the future.
Assign them to the future. And then you lose out on very powerful revelation because you say, in heaven, you know. But which righteous acts are we going to be doing in heaven? None. We are doing the righteous acts now. And which dominion are we going to be having in heaven? No, the dominion is here. So we are, and now the fine linen and the way we are dressing ourselves is in dominion. And the church cannot be in dominion when the church is poor. That's a very, very, important message for everybody. That first of all, you have to understand there are certain things which people have to know and which the church has abdicated over a long period of time. Number one, it is only in modern Christianity where people divided Jesus' atonement into so many segments. So you find somebody who is born again and has received that part of Jesus' atonement, the one of redemption, you know, and so on. But they are permanently sick. They have not received the same part of the same package, which is healing. They have not received that. They have not received blessing, which is a part of the same package. The package is one. An inheritance. Spoken about in Ephesians chapter 1. Starting from verse 3, which says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, you know,
us
with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. Now, it goes on to mention the blessings.
Yes.
Redemption is just one of them. So if you're redeemed, thank God you are.
Yes.
But now, the rest are all there, you know, an inheritance, which includes everything that is of a material nature. Okay? Now, people say, he says, spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places. So, somehow they say, okay, the blessings are in heaven. Who needs blessings in heaven?
No.
So nobody needs blessings.
No.
You know, the church has really, really put everything away. I don't need a blessing when I get to heaven. I need a blessing here, here on earth. Now, so you see that it is the same package.
Yes, it is.
Redemption, healing, blessing.
Covering, protection.
Protection, divine protection, and everything else. One package. Jesus did not die for the, it's the same thing. Like it's it covers. It's like saying that you have, let's say, an insurance policy, which covers let's say your car. It covers your health if you get sick. You can go to the hospital. It covers that. It covers your family's health and everything else. It's one policy. And so if you don't need a second policy for your health. Or you don't, if your car had an accident, God forbid, you don't need another policy. It's the same policy. Now, Jesus, the redemption package is the same. Now, people separate this and they just get born again. And that this is the working of the enemy, by the way. They just get born again, receive that part, and then live their lives in defeat. Because they somehow believed what the enemy told them, that after you're born again, you're going to heaven. Yes, I am, but I'm going to enjoy this. Now, the thing is, and I have to be in dominion on this earth. Now, if I'm not in dominion, I'm not in the perfect will of God.
Now, one of the biggest deception, because from the definition which you have ever given us about deception, is that turning the truth into a lie and the lie into the truth. That is like the simplest definition of what you've been teaching us about deception. Now, the enemy, what he says, he cannot, like, what? Shift the will of God. He cannot. But what he can do is to shift through it, because the only power he has right now is the power through his deceptive abilities. Mm. So the truth we have is shifted to turn it to a lie. So that when we believe it, because all the time, everything we believe, we obtain it.
Yes.
Everything we have in Christ, we obtain it by faith, by our belief, what we believe about it. Now, if the enemy sees that you have power in what you believe, he can just add something little to shift the truth into a lie.
As a matter of fact, let me say this, because maybe some people might want to hear it.
Yes.
The only power that the devil ever had was given to him by man, by Adam.
Yes.
Before that, he was just a serpent.
Yeah.
Until he deceived Adam, he had no power.
Yes.
God had given all the power over the earth, the realm of the earth, to Adam. Remember what it says in Genesis 1:26?
Yes.
Let us make man in our image and let him have dominion over all the earth. Yes. That was God giving man full dominion over all the earth.
Mm.
So in other words, he made like man like a god on earth. Like, I've, you know, on earth,
everything.
You're my representative there.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the devil obtained that power by deceiving Adam and getting him away from the connection from God, which had given him that power, and then put him on a separate thing.
Yes.
Then that was the beginning of the devil's power.
Yes.
Now, Jesus came to restore us right back. To where we were in the Garden of Eden. Now, right now, the only power the devil has is the one which people give him through wrong believing, through abdication of their authority over him. So they let him have authority which he's not supposed to have. So he comes, I'll put it this way, because the inheritance of the earth was now given back to man after Jesus rose from the dead.
Yes.
He said, everything now, all power has been given to me. Now, you know, I've passed it over to you.
Yes.
Now, it's like if, let's say, there's a rich man who dies and he leaves all his estate with a Kena and says, everything, all my houses, my businesses, everything, my cars and what, my land, everything belongs to a Kena. And maybe somebody is sharp. So he comes and starts telling Akena that, you know, you say we can do this, we can do this. And if that person is sharp enough, after some time, he will be in control of that estate. Yet he's not the owner. You see? And he has taken control of that estate by just deceiving the rightful owner. Now, that's all the power that the enemy has. Now, and he would have done that because Akena abdicated his responsibility. Now, dominion belongs to the church.
Yes.
But the church somehow suffers under the dominion of the evil one because they have abdicated their responsibility. They are not doing the things that we are designed to do.
No.
Because you go and tell church people certain things about being in dominion.
Yes.
And you see, and I've moved sometimes, you know, in some places, and you see the way they perceive it, that they have been deceived to think that if they can have food and drink and so on, just survive, that's all they need. And the devil is enjoying, because he's going to get everything that was meant to be for you and give it to his servants.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So then you find they are the ones in rulership.
Yes.
And then you find your leaders are going to the shrine.
Yes.
Because you are the one who abdicated your responsibility.
Yes.
You are the one supposed to be in those positions as a church. But through wrong believing and small dreams, actually having very, very small dreams, this really perturbs me. Because when you have a dream, no matter how big, and you connect it, because all the, I'll tell you this, the dreaming faculty comes from God. So do not think, do not deceive yourself that you can be in one place. And let's say the way I was, like, let's say 10 years ago. And I have a dream of taking the message of the end time across the country. And that dream is from myself or from the devil. No, it can't be. The dreaming faculty belongs to God. Everybody, you're dreaming of doing a big business that covers the whole region. That is of God. The devil does not give people dreams. And even your flesh, which would be the third alternative, your flesh cannot have dreams which are so big. Because you can't find, once you find somebody, you know, and I've seen these things, who does not even have money for supper. Yes. But he has a dream of a big business.
Yes.
Or, and having dominion.
That is God.
That cannot be the flesh. The flesh does not.
Yes.
The flesh says, no, you look for food.
Now, hey,
look for food now.
Yes.
You don't waste my time with big things.
Yes.
And of course, it can be of the devil.
Yes.
So now, when you have a big dream, it is of God.
Yes.
Once you can think things which are beyond you, which you even tell people, and the people are saying, who do you think you are? To dream that, you just know that is of God.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. Now, if it is of God, and you stay connected to God,
yes,
don't let yourself be pulled down to small dreams.
No.
Because that is the problem. People do not understand that the world, the purpose of the world is to make you downsize your dreams.
Yes.
You started thinking big, then they, you know?
And it's on conditions also.
And I've had people who come and tell me that. And all of them are Barokore. That's the one thing. Eh? And I look at them and I just laugh. Because Barokore can be experts at, you know, small, being petty dreams. Eh?
Yes.
And they leave these things to the heathen.
Yes.
Now somebody comes and says, yeah, I know, you know, we know what you are. You're planning to be this and this. Eh? But it's not going to happen. Let me tell you what the Lord is saying. Then I, of course, because I want to be polite and not to offend people, I listen. But I say, you go and die with your small dreams. Eh? If you want small dreams, do not evangelize to me smallness.
Yes.
Let me evangelize to you big dreams. Because you need me, I don't need you with your small dreams. I have been through a time of small dreams. I moved away from there.
Yes.
Now I took on big dreams. And you can't evangelize me to, you know, what you're thinking is too big, it's beyond you. Who told you? Am I depending on your power?
No.
Am I depending on my own power? I'm depending on the power of God, and which you also have.
Yes.
So if I... Let's listen to people like that.
Yes.
And now I downsize my dream. Okay? Guess what? I'll leave a big gap for the devil to fill. You see, eh? Now that is the space the devil is going to be occupying.
Yes.
You understand? Because if, let's say, I had a dream of taking entire message across the world, then somebody comes and tells me, no. Why are you thinking about the world? You have not even left Kampala. Let me tell you, if I'm thinking about the world and I've never left Kampala or Soroti or Lira or Guru or wherever, and I'm thinking about the world, just know that is God.
Yeah.
Because that's a clear sign that it is God. Because where else did you can you get something like that? You can't get it from your flesh.
No.
Your flesh will tell you, you're a small person.
Yes.
Just by bicycle and what? Eh?
Yes.
Now it is the Spirit of God inside you who starts making you see big things which
works
are beyond you,
who
works in you.
So
now that is a clear, and now there are people out there who will be helped by this. Do not let anybody. Now you have such a dream, you even go and tell it to, some cases, go and tell it to somebody in your church. Or even sometimes even your pastor.
Yes,
they will tell you, okay, we understand. Whatever. Yeah, but you first do this. Eh? Now there's a minister, an American preacher, who I gave a testimony like that. Eh? He said one day he was driving. He had an old Toyota. And he was driving one day. And then he said he had the voice of the Lord saying, just driving. And then you're near an airport. So he has a plane coming. So it's near and he looks up and sees the plane. Then the Lord speaks to him and tells him that, you know, one day I'm going to give you a plane of your own so that you can fly in your own plane. Then now this man excitedly goes and tells another preacher. Now, usually preachers, so he goes and tells another preacher, do you know what the Lord just told me? The Lord just told me that one day he's going to give me a plane of my own. Then the preacher just looked at him and smiled and said, let me tell you something. You're here driving an old Toyota, and you're talking about a plane. Why don't you start by buying a good car? Now, that is stupidity.
Yes.
Anybody who tells you that is like 100% stupid. Because I'm not depending on, I've told you the Lord. So now, now there will be people like that who will downsize you. And they pull you down, and and actually, because you're trying to build your faith. So, guess what? It didn't take him. By the way, in some years, the man has his plane. You know, he has his private. He keeps on saying how he's the biggest consumer of jet fuel in his state in America. because he's always flying around. Yes. He said one day, even remember, he had forgotten something. He was halfway the journey. He told the pilot, turn back. Now, that's very expensive to burn jet fuel like that. But he said, because he has it.
Yes.
Now, but you know what he said? He said, I will never take that man in my plane because he almost made me give up on what God had told me. Mm. So he said that sometimes the man says, are you going to this place? Can we go together? He says, no, you go and what? you go and buy a nice car. You told me I was driving a Toyota. Uh-huh. Because why do people not know that God can do anything?
Yes.
Like, and it is believers.
Yes.
So sometimes you don't tell them.
Mm.
They will send you into what?
Yeah.
Slavery, like Joseph.
Mm. Mm. Now, the thing is, just expand your dreams.
Mm.
Like, expanding dreams. Because, like what you're saying, like the dream faculty, you can never just be there and a big idea to take over, a big dream to a big vision, something bigger where you see yourself. So actually the thing about dream is that it will be so contrary to your natural abilities.
Yeah. That's how you know it's from God.
Yes, all the time. It comes and it looks, what if you to compare your dream and your current state, you'd totally be someone who
you'd look like you're mad.
Yes.
But
and actually, that's why these natural people who have not seen your dream would downsize you and say it is impossible.
Mm.
But with the eyes of faith, just expand it and expand it. Because once you move with it and you follow it and you work on it, it will totally bring out that dominion which God has promised for us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, because you see, dominion doesn't, it's not going to come. And you see, one thing I also noticed that in the church, which is a very not good thing, is there is a lot of gospel of breakthrough. Forget about breakthrough.
Yes.
Let me tell you. I was talking about with some people, you know, who ministers of God when I had moved up country. And they were telling me that, you know, they hear me on radio and so on. So they were, you know, saying, you know, you spend a lot of money on radio and so on. So anyway, I will not tell you the details of what they said. But the thing is, I told them, when the Lord told me that I'm going to spread this message of end time across the country, I did not even have money for like a small rent, for like a small house. But he told me that, and I held on to that dream.
Yes.
So I told him we're on 10 different radio stations across the country.
Yes.
Actually, there are very few places in Uganda where you cannot hear us because all we get radio stations which cover big areas. So I told him that. And if I also told him, if I told you my monthly radio bill, the amount of money I pay, you will become jealous. But when the Lord told me, I did not look at my state.
That's the thing.
I looked at his state.
Mm.
He is big. He can make me even, it can even be all over the world. He's God.
Yes.
Like the whole world is just in his hand like this.
Mm.
So now, I do not make God look small.
Mm.
No, I make myself grow big to fit into what God is telling me.
Yes.
Because you see, he can tell you something and you say, oh God, okay, the whole country is nice, but for me, you just give me this small station here. It's enough for me. And now you've made God, that's what it calls limiting the Holy One of Israel, like the children of Israel, like the children of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
Now, like, and he's saying, man, like, I'm God, I can give you anything.
Everything.
And I'm telling you what I want to give you. Just believe. So now, just believe. There are things, if there is a time in your life, any one time, when you're not believing for something which is much bigger than you, then you've not learned how to walk with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now, even when I'm on those stations, I'm actually, I'm believing for bigger things. And when I get those bigger things, I'll still be believing for bigger ones until the rapture.
I believe maybe that's what we started with, like staying on the present truth.
Yes. Now, the truth of today is dominion.
Yes.
A church that is not in dominion is not going to fulfill the purposes of the Creator in this final state.
Yes.
Because there has to be
a
point of we're in charge.
Yes, yes.
Now, before, if you think that we are going to, Jesus is going to come for a defeated church, you are very mistaken.
Yes. Now, it's what I had actually spoken about, that picture which the painter is trying to draw. Now, when you walk with God and you fulfill all the because he says the right, these are the righteous acts of the saints. And it is our responsibility to work it out, following the Lord. Now, when we as children of God, when you start trusting God, let me even speak about what we've spoken about. Like, you've believed and you're saved. You've believed the gospel of redemption and you get delivered because of that. And you've believed in the grace of God. Now, all that is, it's like you're adding up and you're drawing that picture. And you're becoming exactly that person. Now, the one challenge which we've also noticed is that when you don't, it's like you grow lame. It's like a child who is growing and one leg is lame. And that child cannot be effective, of course. Now, that is how most Christians are. When you don't put to faith process into another and another and another, you will not fill up what is required for you. And that picture of you which is being painted by the Lord, it will not be like painted. So you are supposed to move. And how do you do it? By the present truth. By
okay, because you see what I also learned in so in churches and is that somebody has some success.
Yes.
And they appear to be successful and they have actually they have made progress.
Yes.
And then they stop. They park.
Yes.
You know, their journey comes to an end.
Yes.
Then they go around, start saying, you know, I used not to have, you know, shoes, but now I'm driving a car and so on. Eh? And the Spirit of God is looking at you saying that
we have just started.
We are only just starting. The journey is still very long until the rapture.
Yes.
Now, if you've seen what can be done, which is good, how about now you believe, you know, for something bigger, more dominion, more space?
Yes.
You remember like that prayer of Japheth who said that, you know,
oh Lord, that you would bless me.
Bless me and expand my territory. At every stage, you have to be asking for blessing of a different, you know, higher blessing, but also expansion of territory. If you just get comfortable with the territory that you have, that's why I'm telling you that there is not a single moment when I'm not dreaming one thing which is bigger than me. And when I achieve it, I will immediately upgrade now to something which is even bigger. And bigger, not any one time. Now, if you understand that, and you understand that you don't park at the roadside just because you've had some success, just because you've started a business and it's fairly successful, or just because you've achieved a certain measure of dominion within a locality and so on, and you continue, then and only then will actually be involved in what is called the present truth. And what you will be the leaders, the Joseph generation of this end time church, the people who are going to, you know, like Joseph actually, who are going to go and
go ahead
ahead of the others and create way. Because of course Christ will eventually, through his grace, will bring so many other people in, even the cowards, even the people who are very timid and who park at the roadside. All of them will be brought in because they are believers. But there will be those who are the Joseph generation, those who go ahead and pave a way and leave their brothers. But when they have paved the way and they have become big where they are, they come back and collect their brothers and say, now come and, you know, enjoy this. Now, there are those who God has called to be Joseph generation. There are those who God has called to be Benjamin generation, who are just receiving five changes of clothes by grace and so on. But there are people who are Joseph generation who are abdicating their responsibility. Now, that's what those are the people I want to actually talk to. Because the reality is that somebody has to go ahead of the others and make things happen. Now, I was talking something about the gospel of breakthrough. There's this scripture which, of course, everybody knows, which is in 3 John. 3 John and verse 2, which says, everybody knows this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Okay? Now, of course, this is prospering in all things. Because sometimes when you talk of prosper, people think we just, you know, financial prosperity. But you can prosper in everything. For instance, you can prosper in health and you live completely divine health. Okay? You can prosper in, you know, dominion and so on. Then it says that, and be in good health. Okay, that's also prosper. And says, just as your soul prospers. Now, this does not give room for breakthrough. Because you see those things where somebody says, oh, well, then suddenly one day, somebody gave me $10 million. Oh, please. Like, okay, maybe there is somebody for whom that happened. But you will not get something that is beyond who you are. You see,
beyond your capacity.
Beyond your capacity. Remember when Jesus was giving out the talents in that parable? Yes. He says to one, he gave five, to one, he gave two, one, he gave one, according to their capacity. Now, that is the main thing. Because you see, as your soul prospers, talks about building capacity.
Yes.
You build your capacity. And now you can do that. And when you build your capacity, somebody who had one talent will have two.
Yes.
One who had two will have five.
Five, yes.
And so on. But if you think that you're going to be there and things suddenly happen, I remember one pastor way back, long, long ago, mid-90s, I didn't be born again for long. Mm. And this pastor, one day there was a Maurice Seruro conference.
Yes.
And so, you know, one of his, of course, we all went there. I went there. It was in 1993.
Yes.
So it was at Freedom Square in Makerere. So went there, and then there's, you know, there was this man from Nigeria who was part of the team of Maurice Seruro called Tunde Bakare. He came and preached about, you know, giving and about prosperity. Then he said, now those people who can give ₦1,000,000. Now, I want you to know that ₦1,000,000 in 1993 was quite an amount of money.
Yeah.
So he said, those who can give ₹1,000,000, come forward. Now, one lady comes forward, and the guy said, not somebody who is believing God, no, who has it in the bank or somewhere, who is going to bring it tomorrow. It was a 3-day conference.
Yes.
So people came forward. Now, one of the ladies there used to go to a church somewhere in Kamocha. And the church, they were looking for money to buy Mabati. And ₹1,000,000 could have roofed the whole church and done all what. But she went and, you know, gave to Maurice Seruro. Now, the pastor was bitter. The pastor was angry. He says, now you go and give money to this bazungu who already have money. And yet, you could, if you had given us that ₹1,000,000, would roof the church.
Yes.
Now what? So he became very, very, very bitter. And that was the gospel for like months. Eventually, of course, the lady left the church because she became uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, and also me, I was thinking at the time, but he also her. Like, those ones have many people to give them money. Why didn't she give to her church and so on? And then later on, of course, as you grow in knowledge, I was a young baby in the faith. As you grow in knowledge, you know that capacity.
Yes.
Like, I'm telling you, you can be a pastor. If you don't build your capacity,
yes,
somebody will come and give you a seed of ₹1,000. Okay? And that same person will go and give another person who has taken time to build his capacity a seed of ₹1,000,000.
Yes.
The same person. But you don't blame the person. Somehow you can tell that this person, like it is spiritual.
Yes.
When you go to build your capacity and you do it spiritually, people look at you and see, this one, I can't give him ₹1,000,000. I have to give him ₹10,000,000.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I know this because there was a time I would get $5,000, $10,000. Then through obeying the Lord and moving forward, I built my capacity. I started getting $500,000. Through obeying the Lord and going forward, I started getting millions. I started getting tens of millions. Okay?
Yes.
I will stop there because some people will get angry.
Yes.
But it's even more than that.
Yes.
Now, but I built my capacity, and everybody who is listening here can do it.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
Who is, because this is what he says, even as your soul prospers. Now, if you think your capacity is 10,000, but you're going to have breakthrough, and then somebody comes and gives you ₹100,000,000. He's not.
No.
Even if you pray for them and they get healed, because you might have that, they will give you 10K because that's your capacity.
Yes. It is according to your capacity.
According to your capacity. Yes. Now, that's the most important. And I wish people here would not be offended, because I know there are some people who would be here and be offended.
Yes.
But I wish they were not offended. Because I would be with a man of God when for me my capacity is 50K.
Yes.
10K.
Yes.
And I be with the man of God and people bring him $5,000.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I could get offended.
Yes.
And say, why do they give it? No, I did not. I said, let me just build my capacity.
Yeah.
Now, what would have made me offended is now usual.
Yes.
There is no big deal. $5,000, that's less than ₹20 million.
Yes.
That's, you know. But my point is, don't ever get offended. Because once you get offended, you're not going to grow. Just to know that it is your own responsibility to actually build your capacity. And one of the reasons people don't build their capacity is because they be there waiting for breakthrough.
Yes.
Yet actually, breakthroughs come in small bits.
Yes.
They come in small bits.
Yes.
Like you move from 10K to 100K.
Yes.
From 100K to 1 million, that's a breakthrough.
Mm.
Don't expect to move from 10K. Okay, it might happen. I'm not ruling anything out.
I
don't have the whole syllabus of God. But but you know, the one sure way, the surest way, is just build your capacity by actually, as your soul prospers. How big is your soul? Can your soul take? Because there's some people, if you give even 10 million shillings, the next day they will not come to church.
Yes.
They'll say, now I no longer need God. I've seen people like that. There's a guy who got a job. We used to midnight prayer. You know those midnights? We used to pray Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm. Every three times a week, we'd have a night prayer. So this gentleman went and got a good job. It was actually really a good job by the standards. He said, man, now those things of prayer. You guys, you pray.
For us, we
moved on from those things. Now me have to go to work. Man, then he even like married a second wife. He said, man, I have money. Now I can build what? My second wife, some other house somewhere and what? So basically, he left. Now, he didn't have the capacity to handle what, you know, God. And he actually got the job by miracle.
Yes.
So now build your capacity.
Mm.
So that even if you get 100 million, you stay the same person.
Yeah.
Like nothing changes.
Yeah. No.
But you see, there are people even who 1 million, you look at them and something has changed.
Yes.
And then you know that that's not your capacity. Give us the last word as we go.
What I believe the Lord is speaking through us today here is that we are supposed to stay on the present truth.
Mm.
The reality which builds us and builds our lives. And these end-time believers, all the end-time believers, the church, the truth for us right now is dominion, and specifically financial dominion. And that we can only attain that by not thinking that God has stopped in revealing different revelations, and also not stopping at any single point. And when we choose to do that, then we carry it on and expand ourselves, expand our dreams, expand us, and then step on it. And through that, God will not let us down. He will always show us and He will bring to pass that which He has promised to us.
Okay, now we're going to take time and pray for everybody who is sick. But I want to tell you that if you are sick, just do this. Speak to your sickness.
Yes.
Don't speak to God. Don't pray. No. Speak to your sickness and tell it to get out of your body.
Yes.
Because you are in control of your body. God gave you full control over your body. That's why He says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you to offer your body as a sacrifice. That's God is telling you that I'm begging you.
Yes.
Because He gave you that.
Yes.
It is your body.
Yes.
So He says, I beseech you,
brethren,
to offer your body as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Means who is in charge of your body? Yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if a sickness is in your body, it has invaded your territory.
Mm.
You treat that the way you'd find an imposter inside your house.
Yes.
Now, I want you to speak to that sickness.
Yes.
Whatever it is, don't speak to God. Don't pray.
Mm.
Now, for instance, you say, I'm giving one which somebody I know has now by word of knowledge, fibroids.
Yes.
Say, you fibroids, I command you in the name of Jesus to dry up and come out of my stomach.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Don't speak to Jesus. Don't speak to God. Speak to the fibroids.
Yes.
And command them to come out of your body.
Yes.
I want you to do this. So fibroids is one of them. Another one is ulcers.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Now you say, you ulcers, talk to them as if they can hear you.
Mm.
Because actually they can.
Yes.
Jesus spoke to a tree and said, nobody will eat fruit from you. And the tree heard him and died.
Right,
In Mark chapter 11.
Yes.
So also you speak and say, you fibroids,
dry up.
Dry up. I command you in the name of Jesus to dry up from my stomach. Come out.
Yes.
You ulcers, I command you to dry up right now.
Mm.
And come out of dry up. You have no place in my body. Speak to whatever sickness you have and believe God that it is what?
Mm-hmm.
It is healed. Now, I want you to do that.
Amen.
And I want you to give us, is there any way of feedback that people can give?
They can send the SMS to Ministry Line.
You can send us an SMS to the ministry lines which they are going to dictate to you, or even WhatsApp.
Yes.
If you have that, send it to the ministry line and give us some testimonies. We want to hear that.
Yes.
And we'll talk about some of the things which the Lord is doing.
Yes.
So. Mm.
And then also we would want to invite people, to come and pray with us this very Friday.
Mm.
And of course, we are every Friday, the Watchman Fellowship, which is starting at 6 p.m. At Amare, the Palace, which is opposite Mukwaya Hospital in Kabalagala.
In Kabalagala, not far from the Kabalagala stage.
Yes.
You come there. The place is called Amare Gardens.
Yes.
Come there Friday at 6 p.m. We are there.
Yes.
And come if you're sick, come on, because we pray for the sick when you're there. Thank you so much for joining us here today on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful afternoon, evening, whatever time it is when you listen to this. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare, the Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.